CNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I told you he was ready to go right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys.
Now, I was hoping that obviously you, not only when you've owned the Cowboys, but you're very familiar with the history of the Cowboys as well. I wanted to see if you could give us any thoughts about the former Cowboys linebacker, D.D. Lewis, who obviously people credit with him saying Texas Stadium has a hole in the roof so God can watch his favorite team play.
Well, D.D. was, of course, one of the, if you will, staples of what the Cowboys were about in the 70s. And, of course, I'm sitting right out front. I'm going in a service for Leroy Jordan. And that linebacking group were not only noteworthy for the Cowboys, but I remember Leroy was my hero. He played at Alabama. He made 37 tackles, I think, in one of the Sugar Bowl games. And he was a monster. And he was driven. And he was everything that football was about. And, of course, the Cowboys drafted him, and the rest is history. Bob Lilly said Leroy was so instrumental in his career because he would tap him about what he was doing, where he was going, direction he was going, and just the two were an unbelievable team. But Leroy Jordan was the first player. And I didn't blink. I hadn't been in town but maybe a couple of months, and I immediately put Leroy Jordan in the Hall of Fame. That was because of the great legacy that he had, not only at Alabama, but here with the Cowboys.
And I know you're getting ready for the game against the Bears this weekend, but then does that mean this is a particularly emotional day for you then?
Well, I'm just want to revere what Leroy was all about. And emotion is a really one of positiveness about he epitomized to me the spirit and what you look for that you can't see on the surface, and that's what's inside. And he brought that over to Cowboy fans, and there's a big part of the legacy the Cowboys have today. But
there's
it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's emotional, it's just a time to recognize just exactly what he meant to the team. And I'm sorry that he's gone, and his family. He had a wonderful life after the Cowboys, but still, we do, as the Cowboys, we'll want to recognize his contribution, and it was big for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes sense to everybody listening right now. One of the things I love to pick your brain about is league issues as well. I know I was only two votes away from getting outlawed last year. How do you feel about the current incarnation of the tush push, and do you think this is the last year we're going to see it?
Well, it very easily could be, but as so often, I'm going to compare this to Michael Irvin, the Michael Irvin rule. Michael had a technique that would give him an instant separation from the D-back. And, of course, Aikman had the ball there when he separated, but he'd kind of punch him down on the hip. And that had that separation. Well, it was so effective, the league banned it. That's not uncommon. Did the same thing, but for safety reasons, when we had the horse collar tackle. And so my point about all of this is that they do that well because they've got a quarterback that is unique relative to his strength, and that makes that play go. Now, they've got it down to an art, but their point was others could have it down to an art. When do we change rules because a team has gotten excellent at it? Well, we've done it before. There's a long history of changing rules because teams get excellent at it.
Jerry, on the topic of league issues, Tom Brady is now a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, along with his role as an analyst for NFL on Fox. But some questions came up when he was spotted in the Raiders coaching box headset on in their game against the Chargers. With that access that he has to teams and their plans through the TV production meetings, do you see this as an issue going forward?
I'm not at all concerned about it. Not at all. When he came in, that was an overlying issue about having someone as prominent as he is in media. Just by the nature of what he does, he has to have a lot of knowledge about all the teams. Is that going to be a concern? I'll never forget my first year on the competition committee, And you had guys like Marty Schottenheimer. You had guys like Don Shula. You had some of the good people that we think greats of the game as far as coaching is concerned on that competition committee. And they said, you know, Jerry, everybody in this league read your signals. And we knew when you were going to run. We knew when you were going to pass. And we actually, by the way, you tipped it off, knew which direction we were going to go. We still couldn't stop you. So much for having some of that intel that can cause you to really disrupt a game plan. I don't think too much of that as far as it being a competitive issue. I'm okay with Brady in the booth.
Sticking kind of in that broadcast theme, there was a report earlier this week that Amazon feels like they have a real chance at broadcasting a future Super Bowl. I know you have talked about access to football games for all of the people. What would you think about the idea of a Super Bowl on Amazon Prime?
Oh, I think that's I think that's possible. I think the key premise behind the NFL's television philosophy is as many people get to watch it free as possibly can. So that falls right in that category as far as I'm concerned. So I wouldn't dismiss those prospects at all. I'm specifically not saying any particular partner that we might have in the presentation of our games. I'm not doing that as to something might be interpreted that I know we are doing something with them for a particular Super Bowl. We're not. But as far as the future is concerned, I think it's very possible.
Jerry, pleasure to chat with you. You said last year that y'all might have gotten a little over your skis with the expectations to having Guyton and Beebe start along that offensive line. Are we worried that that might be the same case, expecting so much out of Savon Revelle when he comes back, considering that secondary is the way it is so far, and he's coming off the injury that he is?
Yeah, I think it's part of it to have your first pick, top pick like that, and of course Revelle would have been a top pick in my mind in the first round had he not had the injury during his senior season. But the whole point is that's what go with the first round, and maybe even some in the second round. Our expectations are such that it presents, if you will, a story or a basis or a backdrop of a part of the job of coming in and being a first-round pick. Certainly, facts are that very seldom do you have somebody come in and play their first year as though they are will play or others have played in ensuing years. That learning how to do it in the offensive line is real.
Jerry Jones joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You guys got the deal done with Jadeveon Clowney. Do you expect him to play a lot this Sunday? Is there a pitch count? What are we expecting from Clowney this Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's a little up in the air. They'll read that as they go, but I do expect him to play.
Now, speaking of people who expect to play, Kevontae Turpin, he said he expects to play yesterday. Does that sound right to you? And how effective has he been as an expanded offensive weapon this year?
Tremendous, tremendous. He's I'm so glad we got him. And he's always stepped up and been beyond anything you could have ever expected at anything he's doing. Obviously, the return game. But he's a big part of the problems that you give a defense, and he uses that speed, he uses that acceleration. But where he needed to evolve more is in the offense. He was such a key and perceived as such key return guy that he might not have had the emphasis that he would have had on the offensive side of the ball. And so now he's gotten in there. He's got a couple of years under his belt. He's really a big part of our team. I mean, a big part of how we're going to move the ball this year.
Now, on the return front, obviously a lot of things were done to kind of change the nature and exciting factor of the kickoff. Do you ever anticipate any kind of changes to, like, punt rules in terms of not being able to kick it out of bounds or anything like that?
I don't see that as much as I see tweaking, and I do see tweaking. special teams is such a big part. I had the privilege, and I'll answer you through my eyes, but we won the national championship when I was in college. We won it because we were the best special teams team in the country. And we made an art of it. And we led the nation 2 years in a row at special teams when I played at Arkansas. And we won the national championship one of those years. But we used to practice our setting our wall up and not using our hands. We would do the practice with broomsticks. And we would put broomsticks behind our back and put our arms behind the broomstick so that when we ran, we would kind of wall off as opposed to using those hands. And we practiced on that. And we practiced the first 25 minutes of a two-hour practice. We would practice that long and hard on special teams and did it while we were the freshies at the start of practice. It's a point of emphasis.
Jerry, we've seen Mozzie and Jaden Blue as two healthy scratches the last 2 weeks. What's kind of the reasoning behind that? Now, we know from hearing Shoddy, Jaden's been a little bit inconsistent is what it sounds like. Obviously, Mozzie's situation goes without saying. Where are we at with these two going into week three?
Well, let me say this. I know where your question's going, specifically to them. But if you don't see them up there, then that means that there was somebody else up there for some reason, because we were iffy on the fifth guy or fourth guy about him finishing the game at some other position, not necessarily because of direct competition, but when you see a player down or two players down, they're down because the best way for us to win the game in Ryan's mind is to not have them up. And that's not a negative. That's not a punishment. That's just that when it gets right down to that point and you've got 10 minutes to kick off, you're going to put the people out there that give you that next 3 hours the best chance to win. That's how that happens.
Fair enough, and I get it with Jaden Blue being a fifth-round pick. But where are we at with Mozzie? I mean, this guy's a first-round pick, 2 years removed, defensive tackle being the – you know, I mean, look, you went out and got a defensive tackle. Where are we at in his maturation, and is the clock ticking on his Cowboy tenure?
Well, let me just say this. We've been bringing – we made that trade with America and brought in a key – part of our defensive line and one that really strengthened us. And guess what? It was right in there where Mozzie plays inside. And of course, we've just brought on another defensive lineman. So we are continually, just within the last two moves we've made in that defensive line, we're continually trying to get better there. That says it all right there. The Mozzie's in his third year here. This is, by the way, Tom Landry used to say, don't get the final scorecard on any player until after they've been in this league 3 years. He'd seen it happen too many times that somebody just comes on. Mozzie's got tremendous strength. He's got tremendous agility. We just need to get him to where it results in making plays. Tackling, making the play, being involved at the point of attack, those kinds of things. And when you see him out there, I'm sure he's going to give it his all to be noticed.
Jerry, you're facing a first-year head coach in Ben Johnson with the Bears this week, and he's been praised for his offensive schemes, including some unique and creative play calling. You've experienced that when he was with Detroit. I wanted to know, as a fan of the game, do you like the unpredictable play calling and the creative schemes, or are you still a purist in the sense of keeping things simple?
Oh, by the way, I better be, but I am. I think one of the exciting things is that you really don't know what's coming. And that's really as it should be. You know what's crazy is that one of the great things about the game, and I know this sounds trite, but if you look at it in a way, it certainly is strategies. There's no way. There's certainly the technique, the preparations, and all of that. But at the end of the day, when that ball is snapped, that's mass confusion. And everybody's got direction, and everybody wants to go, but it's directed in a certain way. I love the philosophy. When I think of play calling, I love the philosophy of trying to get two players on offense on one player on defense and the, between the two, be able to have yards out there, no matter if it's receivers, no matter what it is. And so I'm a my coach, Frank Broyles, was a basic mathematics approach to the game, 2-on-3, 3-on-4, 4-on-3. Outnumber them in a spot. That's the strategy. Then the rest of it's up to those guys to keep their hands in, not hold, keep their don't foul, and use everything you can to shield them away from the ball carrier or to lock them down.
You talked about how you could take the trade capital from the Micah Parsons trade here on these airwaves before and acquire a player with it rather than waiting to draft. Would you consider yourself open for business in the defensive trade market?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm open for business, period, relative now that we have those extra picks, and we should be. And we'll operate with them judiciously. When we traded Herschel Walker, I basically traded a couple for one of them for Alonzo Highsmith. And, boy, what a great player. What a great person he is. But my doctor said he was through. It was bone on bone on his knee. Well, I still brought him in. Of course, he was through. He didn't play any because of that bone on bone. It couldn't be repaired. What it gave us was the opportunity to cut and shoot. And we did do some things that you wouldn't have done with the normal picks. That's how Charles Haley got here. I couldn't have done that if we'd been sitting there with regular picks. I did it because we had extra picks. I was able to trade them to San Francisco to get Haley. It was a risk. It was a real risk to bring in Charles Haley. But the rest is history. He helped us get those Super Bowls.
Hey, shout out to Cut and Shoot, Jerry. All right. You've got Ben Johnson. You got Brian Schottenheimer. You caught a lot of flack because people said, hey, he didn't bring in a Ben Johnson. He didn't bring in an Aaron Glenn. He didn't go out and get the name coordinator. We're two going into 3 weeks in, getting a lot of positive feedback from former players saying that, you know, Shotty has reinvigorated the culture. He's got a different mentality than we've seen from other Cowboy coaches in the past. What are your early returns and thoughts so far on Mr. Shotty?
Well, I'm proud of him, and he's basically bringing to the table everything that I felt you could put your finger on. Number one, for 30-something years, he's been in coaches' meetings at several different teams. He's got a doctor's degree on how to do it because he's been around it. And he understands the going and coming of all of the fads that go on and putting an offense together. Secondly, he has that kind of background. But guess what? He has the freshness of never having done it. This is my time. I'm going to get to show them. And, of course, I'm proud of my father, but this is a time for me to get to go do it. I love those dynamics. I love the foxhole about it. He passed early on a job that he could have had probably and been a head coach much earlier in his career. So I think we've got a seasoned coach, one that has been through a lot of battles, and I think we've got a seasoned coach that's never having done it. I agree now, head coach has got a lot more finger pointing towards you, but I sure like his fundamentals, and I like his approach too. He's got real, no other way to say it, he's got unique people skills, and he's engaging, and I think this will serve him well.
Well, we appreciate the time very much, good sir. Best of luck against Chicago, and we'll catch up with you again next Friday.
Good to be on with you. Thank you. Bye.
There you go, Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, one of my favorite moments of that interview is when you talked about Jaden Blue and Mozzie Smith. Yeah. And he goes, now I know where you're going with that question. And he was like, hey, Fred, I just want to give you a heads up. I know your follow-up question is about what a disappointment Mozzie Smith has been. And then you're like, I don't want to let you down, Jerry. How much of a disappointment has Mozzie Smith been?
Oh, but I thought I worded it. But honestly, the biggest disappointment I had was the fact that he did not recognize my cut and shoot shout-out.
He did not.
Okay, so I was expecting a snicker, maybe a ha-ha, how do you know about cut and shoot? But, you know, again, tying it in. I mean, how many people out there know about cut and shoot Texas? You ever been to cut and shoot Texas?
I have not.
I've been to cut and shoot. All right.
How'd it go?
Well, I mean, not long. Just drove right through.
What a captivating story that was, Fred. Thank you very much. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC.
Got a little meat on the bone.
Yeah, I can see why he didn't acknowledge what you said now. He saw where that was going. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for some baseball nuggets. Now, Jacob, if you could go ahead and give me cut number two, I would appreciate it, because we got the official announcement last night of the upcoming retirement of an all-time great.
0-2 on the way to Josh Reddick. Kershaw drops down and freezes him with a knee-high fastball.
Now, that is, in fact, Clayton Kershaw will finish his career with the Dodgers, somebody who had kind of dabbled with the possibility of coming to the Rangers just a couple times. Three-time Cy Young Award winner. He won an MVP. If you look at his ERA and his WHIP, it is the lowest in the past, I think it is 50 years, for a starting pitcher. I mean, this feels like a crazy, iconic career that's coming to an end, and I know the last couple of years have been tough.
Yeah, I don't know if sentimental is the right word, but, yeah, you know, seeing some greatness step away from the game, because, you know, we joke about it all the time. I'm only 24, so I haven't seen some of the all-time greats walk away in my lifetime. But, you know, even when Brady left, I don't really like Tom Brady, but, like, I knew that the greatest of all time was leaving the game, and that made me sad because I knew I wasn't going to see him on the field every Sunday. And for Kershaw, is he the same guy that he was in the Cy Young seasons? No. In the All-Star seasons? No. He's not who he used to be. He's not getting any younger, and now feels like the perfect time while he is still healthy. He's had a couple of issues health-wise here recently. He's healthy now. Go out while you're still able to go out on your own terms, and good for him.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Kershaw's been, you know what, pretty nondescript the last few years. Anyway.
Wow.
It's the same. I mean, it's going to be the same way when Justin Verlander retires.
Man, okay.
You know?
So we actually talked about that yesterday, and because Verlander said he's going to keep pitching. He was awful for the first half of the
Not
year.
Not great.
But in the last, like, six starts or whatever,
he's been decent.
He's been unbelievable. His ERA is sub-1.
Kate probably cut him off.
That's actually...
Kate probably cut him off, okay? And look, there's boxers abstain.
Yes.
Before big
fights.
Yes. All right? So maybe that's something to it.
I think you'll like this. This shows our night show heritage. We call it sex hostaging.
I love it.
And so you could see scenarios in which that would occur,
We've got a lot of listeners that go through that, but I don't think theirs is by choice.
Yeah.
You could say my name for
Well, usually hostaging is not by choice. But
that's fair.
That's a good point.
Now that you say that.
Okay, good.
I'm still waking up, man.
No, I know.
I didn't go to the gym this morning.
Oh, I was just envisioning a scenario where you were like, I've taken
a hostage.
But it's by their choice.
No, I've never.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I was going to tell a story, but I'll hold off.
They thought
I was being held hostage. Swear to God, as a newspaper reporter.
Back really?
Yes. Yes.
What do you think you're worth, ransom wise?
Not much. Not much.
I'd probably chip in.
Look, a couple $100, maybe max, and a tank of gas.
I'd help out with that. Blake doesn't have any money, so I'd probably have to help out.
Blake would come through. Now the problem with Blake though is finding me.
He's true.
That would be the issue with Blake. And he doesn't answer his phone.
That's right.
So that's the other, and Alec knows this.
That's right.
So, like I said, I don't know. Like, lifeline-wise, ain't going to be Blake.
Yeah.
Ain't going to be Blake.
I can see that.
You know?
Shout out to the A's. They beat the Red Sox last night. We talked about the combination of teams that you needed to lose if you hold out any hope. Look, I understand that it is not likely whatsoever. Yeah.
Slim's leaving town.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But if you're continuing to keep up hope, and look, there's only 9 days left in the season. Why the hell not? You did get a good win last night with the A's beating the Red Sox. I wanted to throw this out there. For the first time all season, the Dodgers are no longer the favorites to win the World Series. They have fallen behind the Phillies, who obviously won't win because they have Bryce Harper. And then the Brewers are third, the Blue Jays are fourth, and the Mariners are fifth.
I think it's the Phillies to lose, man.
Well,
they just look good.
They will.
They just look good. Nah, every team breaks through. There's just something about that team, man. The way they looked when they came here to DFW, God, they look good.
So that's your World Series?
That's my way. Hey, look, take my 10-cent baseball prediction with a grain of salt. I mean, look, I've been getting lambasted at night because I said, look, this is 82-80 baseball team. I'm talking about the Rangers.
Well, I mean, they're on pace to be better than that now.
84 and what, 78?
Hey, I just said better, okay? I didn't say how much better, you jerk.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get caught up in that whatsoever.
That's it.
By the way, shout out again to Max Fried. He had a career high 13 strikeouts versus the Orioles yesterday. Although clearly I know the counterpoint to that is another team that you would like to see lose if you're looking for any different combination of ways to get the Rangers into the playoffs. They start their series against the Marlins tonight. Last six home games of the regular season, and you can hear that right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece. We're live from Taco Bueno in Dallas, North Central Expressway. That is the enthusiasm I'm looking for. 79-40. We got giveaways with those Tolo Trucker hats. They're also going to be giving away Cowboys Packers tickets. If you want to come out and see us, coming up next, we'll talk with Mickey Spagnola.